live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Coming up, Leo Varadkar has called Mary Lou McDonald two-faced during a heated row over COVID-19 payments. The Taoiseach, meanwhile, has confirmed that the unemployment wage subsidy supports will continue to be paid beyond June. There's calls on Pieta House to clarify its position on reports earlier today of major cuts to services at its Letterkenny facility. The global death toll from COVID-19 has risen to over 264,000. And childcare workers won't be covered if they contract a COVID-19 in the home of a frontline worker. Providers were informed by their insurance broker this morning. Good evening. Oisin Kelly will be here with all the latest in sport, while we'll also have the very latest farming news and views with Chris Ashmore following this bulletin. First in news, though, a man has died falling from a ladder in Letterkenny. The tragedy happened in an estate in the mountaintop area earlier this afternoon. Emergency services attended the scene, but the man, who was in his 50s, passed away from injuries he sustained from the fall. Two separate investigations by An Garda Síochána and the Health and Safety Authority are underway. Leo Varadkar has called Mary Lou McDonald two-faced during a heated row over COVID-19 payments. The Taoiseach confirmed that the unemployment and wage subsidy supports will continue to be paid beyond June. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has the latest.
The Taoiseach took questions in the Dáil Chamber this afternoon, with much of the start of the session focusing on whether or not the emergency unemployment payment and wage subsidy scheme will continue beyond June. Leo Varadkar confirmed they would, but not before a row between himself and Mary Lou McDonald.
Now, it's not lost on anyone that words like unaffordable and unsustainable are rattled off and deployed to describe financial measures that benefit ordinary people.
What you said was so two-faced and so fundamentally dishonest. My party, Fine Gael, never cut the minimum wage. Working with Labour and then with Independence, we increased it by 25%, to one of the highest in the world. What is the minimum wage in Northern Ireland, where Sinn Féin is in power?
The Taoiseach, though, couldn't say how long the subsidies will continue. Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin slammed the lack of clarity on the leaving cert as unacceptable, with the Taoiseach saying he hoped to have an answer on it by the end of the week. Varadkar also confirmed the government can't reduce the VAT rate for the tourism sector to 0%, and that they are examining making it mandatory for anyone entering the country to fill out a form saying where they will self-isolate. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
There's calls on Pieta House to urgently clarify its position on reports of major cuts to services at its Letterkenny facility. It's understood that almost all staff at Pieta House in North West have been put on notice, while therapists have been told not to arrange any more appointments after June. The centre, which provides counselling to those who may be having suicidal thoughts or have been bereaved by suicide, opened its doors in May 2017 and expanded its services shortly afterwards due to a high demand locally. The speculation comes as the charity is urging people to take part in their darkness into light sunrise appeal this weekend. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, local councillor Kieran Brogan says serious questions need to be answered.
There's been so much goodwill to it in this area, and I think based on that, that the chief executive and the senior management of Pieta House owe it to the Donegal people and the people of the North West, and indeed to people like Danny, who worked day and night fundraising and setting up this initiative, to come out and clarify the position. And nobody more so than the team that they have down working there, who's been at the coalface, some very professional people who are dealing with clients on a daily basis, who are going to be asking, what do we do now? Who do we call next? And that's where, on the point that you raised, that I believe we have to call in for government intervention to come in to ensure that we maintain the level of service that's there at the moment, even through government intervention and the HSC, to ensure that the people at the coalface, and that's the people that need the help, get the support they need. That has to be our number one priority here. And we need to, if we need to get government intervention, then that has to come from the other house. They have to come clean and tell us exactly where they're at and if they need the government intervention. And if they do need it, then we can all get on board and help and support them.
Childcare workers won't be covered if they contract COVID-19 in the home of a frontline worker. Providers were informed by their insurance broker this morning. Casey O'Riordan reports.
Under a new government scheme, childcare providers are to mind the children of healthcare staff in their own homes from May 18th. Today, providers were told by their broker, Arrakis, that if they participate in the scheme, Allianz, the largest childcare provider insurer in the state, will add a COVID-19 exclusion to their policy. Chairperson of the Association of Childhood Professionals, Marion Quinn, says it puts providers in a difficult position.
They could take a claim against their employer saying, you didn't adequately protect me, you know, now I've got COVID, you know, I'm losing out on income as a result of it. There would be no cover for the employer if that case was taken.
She also says the other issue is many providers are only insured during opening hours Monday to Friday.
The hours that somebody's working could be to 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the evening, which would be outside of their usual insured time.
The Department of Children and Youth Affairs was asked to indemnify workers who took part in the scheme but said it wasn't in a position to do so. Allianz and Arrakis both maintained the onus is on the state to provide indemnity as it is a government-led initiative in response to the crisis.
The global death toll from COVID-19 has risen to over 264,000. It comes as one of the worst affected countries, Italy, is resuming religious ceremonies such as weddings in 10 days' time. Shane Beattie has the details.
3.7 million people have been infected with COVID-19. In the US, where 73,000 have died, President Trump has described it as worse than Pearl Harbor and 9/11. Italy has 214,000 cases, but its reopening continues with masses beginning on May 18th. There'll be strict social distancing and all holy objects used will be sanitised. In England, another 383 people have died, 59 in Scotland, 18 in Wales and 4 in Northern Ireland. Downing Street says Boris Johnson will announce an easing of lockdown in the UK on Monday, but it'll be limited, while Scotland has extended restrictions for 3 weeks. Here, the death toll stands at 1,375, with over 22,200 confirmed cases.
An investigation is continuing this evening into an overnight gorse fire at Knockalla. Firefighters have been praised for battling the blaze, which was brought under control in the early hours of this morning. Donegal Senator and local resident Niall Blaney rang the emergency services.
Went out to look at it properly, I realised that the hill was on fire. And within 10 minutes or more, I then could see a blaze. I rang the emergency service around 11 o'clock and they were on the scene pretty quickly. Because it was quite a bit off the road, they struggled for a while to get control of it, but they did get control of it and it was excellent work on their behalf. And I see this smouldering a bit again this morning. There are areas on that side of Knockalla that have a lot of peaty bottom and that's where it could be coming from at the moment. But I suppose my fear was, given what happened 5-6 years ago, I didn't want to repeat it. That no one would keep a close eye to the forecast. I know it's just a habit of mine. I didn't want the same thing repeating because I know there's a lot of north and east winds forecast for next week, which would push it in that direction. And before it took off, I thought it was better to ring the emergency service. And I want to thank them for their response.
And there is, as you mentioned, with that weather imminent now next week, there's an onus on the general public, you know, to adhere to the basic, you know, rules in terms of trying to prevent these gorse fires from happening.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was scary last night to see how quick that took off. Within 10 minutes, it went from a bit of smoke to massive blaze up into the air. Everything is so dry at the moment, it just takes off very quickly and get out of control very, 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 very easily. And it's nothing to be fooled with.
Donegal County Council's road safety officer is urging people not to let their commitment to road safety slip. Brian O'Donnell says there are more people on the roads now after a slight easing of restrictions earlier this week, but there is anecdotal evidence from Gardaí that speeding is on the increase, as have detections for other road offences. Mr O'Donnell says the impact of the pandemic will be with us for some time and people must adjust their driving behaviour accordingly.
Guards are on the roads on a daily basis, whether it's morning, afternoon, night time, and people will be detected doing things that they should not be doing, and we just need to, the rules of the road still apply, speed limits still apply, they're not targets, we have speed limits in place, for a reason, to adhere to them, and we have to be careful that there is people on the roads, there's young people on the roads, there's kids on the road, there's cyclists using the roads on a daily basis, and we just want everybody to be safe, because by God, we're in trouble enough with what's going on behind the scenes. We just don't want extra being put on our health service to look after people that doesn't need to happen.
And the other issue, of course, we must remember is that as people go out more and more over the course of the summer, social distancing is going to be a reality for quite some time. So we are going to be stepping out off the footpath to avoid people. There's going to be more and more people walking 6 feet apart, and the chances of pedestrians being on the road will be higher than ever in the coming weeks.
That's right. Social distance is going to be a very important thing going forward, and people will be stepping off the footpath to mind themselves, to mind meeting other people that are using the footpath, and they just unfortunately step off unknowns to maybe an oncoming car, but the cars need to be aware that this is possible and just be to be aware that this could happen.
Time for sport now. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Catherine. We start with Gaelic Games, and the GAA admit there are hurdles to overcome if they decide to go with two All-Ireland Championships next year. Croke Park officials are assessing a number of options after it became apparent there's likely to be no inter-county football or hurling until October at the earliest. The GAA's Director of Communications, Alan Milton, has said they are determined to get this year's championship played, even if it means playing it in 2021.
There would have to be serious conversations had because club activity might have to be moved a little bit too, and you've obviously got other partners that would have to be consulted. But I definitely would like to see the championship played if it means spilling over into 2021, and the Uachtaráin, John Horan, has said that on the record as well.
Well, the GAA have explained why they have released players from inter-county training and kept all facilities shut until July 20th during the pandemic. There's no player injury scheme during this period, and there will be no collective training for club players that had hoped to resume training on May 18th. There's nothing to stop a player, however, training individually. Alan Milton says player welfare concerns are why there won't be training for 11 weeks.
I think all players, including inter-county players, will benefit from the fact that club activity could possibly return in July. But the idea that players could go back in fours could be quite challenging, in that you might need the players to come together in 20 or groups of 20 or 25 to be carved up or to be split into groups and given specialist training advice. And we just felt that this is a black and white issue. Safety has to come first.
To soccer now. It's been confirmed that the Bundesliga will resume on Saturday week, the 16th of May. Six games will be played on that day, including Borussia Dortmund's derby meeting with Schalke. There'll be two games played on the Sunday, including Bayern Munich's trip to Union Berlin. And then on Monday the 18th, Werder Bremen will play host to Bayer Leverkusen. All games will be played behind closed doors and under strict health and safety protocols. Barcelona players will train again tomorrow. It's after all of their players' tests for coronavirus returned negative. La Liga are targeting a return to action next month. One of the UK's top football police officers has admitted he has reservations about the Premier League potentially returning next month. Discussions on the top flight resuming, with matches being held behind closed doors, will continue next week. Deputy Chief Constable Mark Robbers says he's concerned by the reaction from some clubs about playing at neutral venues. And Dutch football fans won't be allowed to attend matches until a vaccine is found. That's according to their health minister. The Dutch government have banned all sporting events until September 1st at the earliest, which led to the football season ending early without a title winner or relegation. The minister informed the Dutch parliament if sport resumes in September, fans cannot attend until a vaccine is found. Across the Atlantic, United States-based MLS teams have returned to training after the league gave permission for the start of voluntary workouts. It's the first time clubs have been able to train since the suspension of the campaign on March 12th. There are health and safety precautions, like taking players' temperatures and limiting the number of staff on site at any given time. Athletics Ireland have confirmed all national competitions scheduled for May, June and July have been postponed until after the 1st of August. AIE say they are actively considering new dates for competitions and events that are feasible to host based on the guidelines after that date. Any return to activity and competition will be considered alongside government guidelines and when it is safe to do so. They will also keep in mind training time required for athletes and clubs before any competition can resume. Meanwhile, Athletics North Northern Ireland are planning a July return. They hope to run a scaled-down competition season as the easing of lockdown restrictions progress. All competitions in the north are currently suspended until June 30th. And that's it from the Sports Desk for today. Catherine, back with more as usual tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisin, and we'll be back with a roundup of all the latest headlines after the break.
At Centra, we have everything you need with great offers, like our Centra barbecue meats range, mix and match any three for just €10. Ballygowan Water 500ml six-pack, only €2. And Yellowtail Shiraz and Pinot Grigio was €11.49, now €9 each. Centra, live every day. Enjoy call sensibly.
At BNS Credit Union, we want to help our members through this difficult crisis. We have a range of loans and member services to assist you through the coming months. Most of our products and services, including loan applications, can be submitted online at bns.cu.ie. Get in touch today to find out how BNS Credit Union can help you. Call us on free phone 1800 290 390 or email queries@bnscu.ie to discuss your options. BNS Credit Union Limited is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, more than ever, we need to protect our environment and manage our waste responsibly. Household waste services are operating normally. Please use an authorised waste collector or your local civic amenity. Illegal dumping destroys our communities and results in fines or prosecution. For more information on managing your waste, go to mywaste.ie. Supported by the local authorities and regional waste management offices. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
These are worrying times. Seriously ill children in Laura Lynn, Ireland's Children's Hospice, desperately need crisis care. They may be in isolation, but you can make sure they're not alone. When you donate at lauralynn.ie today, you can ensure some of Ireland's most vulnerable children get the care they need. We may be forced apart from one another right now, but none of us have to face this crisis alone. Please donate at lauralynn.ie and help a seriously ill child get the crisis care they need. Thank you, and stay safe.
Weather now. Showers will gradually die away this evening and it will be mostly dry overnight with some clear spells early on. Cloud will increase as the night progresses and some patches of mist and fog will develop in the light winds. Lowest temperatures of 6 to 8 degrees. Closing headlines, a man has died after falling from a ladder in Letterkenny. The tragedy happened in an estate in the Mountain Top area earlier this afternoon. Emergency services attended the scene, but the man, who's in his 50s, passed away from injuries sustained from the fall. Two separate investigations are underway. Leo Varadkar has called Mary Lou McDonald two-faced during a heated row over COVID-19 payments. The Taoiseach confirmed that the unemployment and wage subsidy supports will continue to be paid beyond June. And the Taoiseach has ruled out a 0% VAT rate for the hospitality sector. Leo Varadkar has said it would go against EU rules. That's the main evening news and sport on Highland Radio for now. We're back with the headlines for you at 6 o'clock. Stand by, Chris Ashmore is here with all the very latest in farming news and views.
Hello, good evening and welcome to our weekly edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, news on the BPS deadline, the draft cap transition regulations and April weather data. But first, let's look at a report about possible cuts in fertiliser and pesticide use in a bid to reverse the decline of farmland birds and bees. Amy Ford is the Deputy News Editor of the Irish Farmers Journal and has an article about this in this week's edition of the paper. Amy, tell us more.
That's right, Chris. So we've obtained a draft of the EU Biodiversity Strategy to 2030 that the European Commission is to launch later this month. And it kind of makes for sobering reading for farmers. The Commission is set to cut fertiliser use by 20%, pesticides by 50% and increase farmland under organic production across the EU by 25%. All by 2030. And as you rightly said there, look, it's to in a bid to reverse the decline of farmland birds and pollinators and insects and that kind of thing. So we know that the EU's Farm to Fork initiative, which will outline the future for agriculture basically in the EU, is going to be launched as well later this month. But it appears that this biodiversity strategy will have just as much importance to run alongside that.
Now, this is a draft, so what actually happens at the end of the day may be quite different, and no doubt there will be plenty of people having an input before we get a final resolution on it.
Definitely, yeah. I suppose it's moved on a lot in the last couple of days. Even over the weekend, I'd seen an earlier draft again from earlier this year, but this latest draft is from in the last week. It's dated in May. So I'd say this is definitely closer to what it will be like, but the previous draft did say 30% under organic farming. This one says 25%, so that seems to be fluctuating a bit. So, look, there will be a lot more to-ing and fro-ing on it, I'm sure. But I suppose other parts in that strategy show that the Commission wants additional protected areas, which will be under strict protection by the EU. So these will be sort of like Natura 2000 lands already. And the Commission is defining these as areas of very high biodiversity value or potential. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out and how it'll work with landowners.
One to watch. Now, also, you've been writing about a new €2 billion COVID-19 credit scheme, which I'm sure a lot of farmers will be interested in.
Yeah, that was also announced at the weekend, just gone as part of the measures announced by the government. It was announced after the roadmap out of isolation, I suppose you could call it. But farmers will have access to a new €2 billion COVID-19 credit guarantee scheme. It will support lending so to small and medium enterprises, and that'll include farmers and fishermen for terms ranging from 3 months to 6 years. And the interest rates will be low market rates at the minute. It'll provide an 80% guarantee on lending to these businesses until the end of this year. I suppose when it was announced, I wasn't sure, it wasn't clear basically if the scheme would have ring-fence funding for specific sectors, for example, agriculture or fisheries or anything like that. So it will not be ring-fenced. So farmers will have access to the whole €2 billion, if you get me. And they can also, so the loan amounts that you can draw down are between 10,000 and 1 million euro. So they can draw down up to 1 million euro as well. So it's a wide open scheme for farmers to apply to.
Now, when you say below market interest rates, I mean, effectively, it'll be such a low rate that it's almost, say a free interest, but you'll be essentially just paying back what you borrowed.
Yeah, well, it will be lower rates. The exact rate hasn't been set yet, and there is a bit of a stipulation that the government actually has to pass legislation before anyone can draw down any of the money in this. So government formation at the minute, as it is kind of key in getting businesses and farmers and fishermen being able to draw down this money.
Now, moving on to one other story before we let you go. The Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association has called for money to be paid out to farmers who they say have taken a financial hit on basic payments. This is tied in with the Natura 2000 designated lands. And of course, here in Donegal, we have a lot of these special areas of conservation.
Yeah, that's correct. The INHFA has written to party leaders, TDs and senators, saying that farmers on Natura 2000 designated lands, so that's anyone on these special areas of conservation, special protected areas, that they're owed €130 million a year and that they need to be paid. So we know that there's around 35,000 farmers across the country in these designated areas, and as you rightly said, a lot are in Donegal and along the western seaboard. INHFA President Colm O'Donnell said that these designations are a burden on farmers and they're costing them €150 per hectare per annum. And he said that this burden is exemplified through additional costs, like the requirements to get permission to carry out normal farming activities, and it devalues their land. So they are calling for basically money to be paid back to them that they believe that they're owed for having these designations on their land.
Well, given, as you've mentioned, we have a new government in the making, his calls may be there, but it could take some time before we see any actual change in this regard.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I suppose the key thing for those in talks for government at the minute is to get something off the ground that's amenable to everybody that's involved in the talks. And look, farming is going to have a serious... it'll have to be big in those talks. I suppose you could say that we're at a kind of a crossroads at the minute between everything we've just talked about, between the EU and the biodiversity strategy. If farming comes being on the floor for certain sectors, and now these farmers are looking for this money back paid that they believe that they're owed. So I suppose it might be a case of whoever shouts the loudest as well over the next coming weeks and months.
And that was Amy Ford, Deputy News Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, farming organisations are urging Donegal farmers to ensure that they make their 2020 BPS application on time. The closing date is Friday week, May the 15th. So far, 75% of farmers have made their applications, which is significantly higher than this time last year. In total, approximately 95,000 farmers have made their application. The IFA Deputy President Brian Rush has pointed out that given the restrictions imposed on face-to-face contact between farmers and their consultants, and with clinics organised by the Department of Agriculture not going ahead, it's important that no one is denied payment this year. The Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association has welcomed the decision by the European Parliament's Agricultural Committee to ratify the EU Commission's draft CAP transition regulation. This regulation offers a degree of stability to farmers in that the legal framework is extended to ensure payments can be made during the limbo period between CAP programmes. According to INHFA President Colm O'Donnell, this transition period offers a unique opportunity for the Department of Agriculture to build new schemes that will foster more sustainable farming. He says this can be done by rewarding existing good practices in extensive farming systems and incentivising the introduction of these practices on unsustainable intensive farming systems. He added that the 3,000 farmers currently locked out of the GLOS scheme must be catered for with an environmental scheme available to them during the transition period. Well, as we all know, April was exceptionally sunny and dry, and Killigordon-based farmer Patrick Kelly, who collects rainfall data from his farm on behalf of Met Éireann, has described the April rainfall as bizarre, pointing out that it was at the lowest level for the month since he began records over 21 years ago. Indeed, Mr. Kelly has now recorded three record-breaking months in the past year in terms of rainfall on his farm in East Donegal. February was a washout, you may recall, and his data showed that the Finn Valley area had rainfall of more than three times the average for that month. Indeed, it had rained on 26 of the 29 days. By contrast, in April, there were only 6 days that had rain, and the traditional April showers were noticeably absent. Last August was the wettest month he had recorded in 21 years. And indeed, Met Éireann figures out this week show that Donegal was the sunniest place in Ireland in April. Malinhead recording 13.9 hours of sunshine on April the 20th, the highest daily sunshine hours of any of the Met Éireann weather stations. And it also had three times more sunshine than Cork Airport. Rainfall at Finnercamp in Bundoran was just 21% of normal levels for the month, while Malinhead had its driest April for 46 years. A little bit of rain in the last few days, and some of it quite welcome, especially for tillage farmers. But some concerns as well that the air temperatures at night still on the cool side. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices for Thursday evening, the 7th of May. The death has occurred of James Coyle, 4 Gaeltacht Drive, Old Town, Letterkenny. In compliance with HSE and government restrictions, the wake and funeral is for family only. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of Con McDade and Sons funeral director. The death has taken place of Brendan Walls, Summerhill, Moville. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family.
The death has taken place of Padraig Pather O'Gallagher, Glashagiddor. In compliance with government and HSE guidelines, the wake and funeral are strictly private to family only. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director Facebook page tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. The rosary can be viewed on Parish Gidor Facebook page tonight at 9 o'clock. The death has occurred of Dennis Thomas McLaughlin, Ridgeway Drive, Derry, formerly of Ballysalla, County Donegal. Due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, the wake and funeral are strictly private for immediate family only. The death has taken place of Susan Havlin, Castlecary, Redcastle. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private for family only. And the death has occurred of Robert Rolston Davis, Cloughroe Stud, Drumcane. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to immediate family only, please. Service of Thanksgiving will be streamed live on the Donegal Town Presbyterian Church Facebook page tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, if so desired, to Stranorder Presbyterian Church Building Fund or the Patients Comfort Fund, St. Joseph's Community Hospital, care of any family member.